Education Subcommittee, the full Ways and Means Committee, in a work session on the Department of Higher Education capital construction. I know there's some people here that want to speak to by invitation to Community College, Bill, but co-chair Steve or Ben Westland asked that we do that, the second item today. So we will get, I guess I do need another House member now. We had one here. We will see if we can find somebody out there.
I think Elaine just went outside.
Get into the Department of Higher Education capital construction. And so, Steve, would you lead off on that, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5525 is the capital construction bill for higher ed. There were a number of projects that were in the governor's recommended budget, and then some additional projects that he added later that were discussed at your previous public hearing on this bill. The co-chairs have also allowed some additional projects to be included beyond that. So what I'd like to do is to discuss what the LFO recommendation is for capital construction for higher education. That recommendation is to be found on these blue sheets that are in front of you, titled Senate Bill 5525, Department of Higher Education, Capital Construction. And I just want to point out, when you look at this table, just to look at what the columns are. First column, general fund, that's pretty obvious. That is actual monies out of the general fund. And you can see, if you look down at the column that at the bottom, there are only about $12 million there in total in general fund for capital construction that's being recommended at this time. The next two columns, I just want to again briefly remind you what these things are, because they sound, you can't tell from the title what this is really talking about. The first column of these two is Article 11G bonds, and the second is Article 11F1 bonds. Article 11G bonds are the interest on them, or the debt service, I should say, is paid by the general fund in future biennia. So every time a legislature approves an Article 11G bond-funded project, that results in debt service costs that start in the following biennium. And typically, the length of these bonds varies, but very often this would be 30-year bonds. So essentially for the next 15 legislative sessions, these projects are being financed. The Article 11F1 bonds are different. They are different in the sense that the general fund is not used to support their debt service. The debt service on the 11F bonds comes from a number of sources, but they are all not non-general fund. Some of the sources that these debt service payments come from include the student building fee for student-based projects and auxiliary income for things such as dormitories. So if they go to housing, a new residence hall, the actual payments that students pay, the rental payments that they pay, are used to pay off these bonds. But these are not monies that are coming from the general fund. The next column is the third item of bonding. Those are lottery bonds. These are bonds that are repaid from the proceeds of the state lottery. So to the extent that lottery bonds are issued, the repayments become the first call on the stream of lottery revenues, and whatever remains after the debt service payments are paid are available for general government purposes of education and economic development. So, and finally, other revenues would include gifts, grants, federal funds, and other types of donations. It also can include some of the institutional funds. So in some instances, institutions will use their operating budget revenues to help finance these, or to be transferred into these capital projects. The way that this chart is shown, and I hope it can be seen easily, and there's so many numbers here that it can sort of get your eyes kind of bugging out when you look at them, but when something is shown in bold, that is a change from what was in the governor's printed budget. So the things that are shown in bold are additions, And there are things that are struck through and in italics. Those are deletions from the governor's recommended budget. I'd like to first talk about what LFO is recommending that you delete from the governor's recommended budget.
Excuse me, Steve. The bold numbers, that strictly comes from the co-chair's recommended budget, right?
From that, and also some of these are from the governor's revised budget as
okay.
well, since he originally printed it.
You haven't identified those or separated those?
Not yet.
Okay, all right.
I would like to do that now, if I may.
Sure.
The first items I would like to mention are items we recommend you delete from the capital construction bill. If you go down the list, the first one, there are two of them at the University of Oregon. So it's Section 4, University of Oregon, and then items B and C there, University Health and Counseling Master Plan Study and the Herb Memorial Union Master Plan Study. Before I explain that, if I may just identify two more. If you look at 6, Southern Oregon University, H, the Schneider Child Care Expansion, we're recommending deletion of that.
Sure.
And one more, Oregon Institute of Technology, B, the College Union ADA Restroom Modifications. We are recommending that you delete these from the bill, but that...
You didn't talk about that one.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay, all right.
We recommend that you delete these from the bill, not because these projects should not be funded, but because there's an error in putting them here. If you look at the size of these projects, they're all under $500,000, and they will actually be funded through, if you look at the very top, items 1, small capital projects, or miscellaneous small projects. So the projects will proceed. They shouldn't have been put in the bill as a separate item on top of those system-wide limitations. So we're asking that you take those out.
So they're funded in 1B?
1B and 1C. The other item that we are asking you to remove is about halfway down in the middle of the page. It's under Oregon State University, that's subsection 5, item F. If you look down there, you'll see the Buxton Hall seismic upgrades, $1 million. We're requesting that that be deleted because it was also, is there an error? Those seismic upgrades have already been done, so there's no need to do another project for them. So we recommend that you delete in total those 5 projects that I've mentioned.
Steve, when you say they've been done, they're in another bill, or the actual upgrade has been completed?
The upgrade has been completed.
Yeah. Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Trull.
That seems perfectly reasonable. I had another small project that related to Western Oregon University and putting in place as a classroom facility and office facilities, the old library that has just been replaced with a new library. And they had suggested that they could do that if they could somehow or other have $300,000 matched with some bonding authority to do that. About $600,000 they could finance it internally. They had a request for $5 million to do that, but I think they could do that if they had that kind of support. Is it possible that out of the small capital projects, the $600,000 could be found for that program? So that could be done. If we're doing these other small things that way, couldn't that be found?
Would you like to comment, Ms. Swanson?
It would appear that Western Oregon University doesn't have nearly as many of these projects as the other institutions.
pardon, Senator Hartung, members of the committee. I'm Linda Swanson, Director of Capital Construction from the Oregon University System. The $300,000 project, if F bonds were to be used, because please note, the small capital projects and the miscellaneous small projects and the land acquisition that we requested be added subsequent to our initial conversations are all F bonds. Unless I'm mistaken, the Western Oregon University project is an education and general building. It would be installing small classrooms and faculty offices into basically empty space now in the old library. But I'm not sure, I don't believe that it would qualify for 11F1 bonds since there would not be a revenue stream separate from the general fund or other institutional resources?
Is there any way that it could qualify for Article 11G bonds?
It would. Chairman, for the record, Grattan Cairns, Director of Government Relations for the Oregon University System.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Trow, yes, it would. It would require Article 11G authorization and then other fund match for that amount.
Mm-hmm. Other funds could come out of
gift, other grants, anything else. We aren't permitted under the government.
Do we need to authorize you to do that in some way, or
Senator Trow, members of the committee, yes, we would need specific authorization for any G bond noted project.
Chairman, for the record, Grattan Cairns again, there are many other projects which don't make the list, as you know, mm-hmm. which are very worthwhile. We've just finished two very major projects at Western Oregon University in the last two rounds. One was the library, and the other was the third and final Warner Center remodel, and between the two represented their first and second round issues in the last couple of rounds, and they've been completed. Their library project now is their number one project coming forward, but it's just now come on the list.
Mm-hmm.
It would be up to you, Mr. Chairman, and the co-chairs to determine whether that addition were. We'd accept it if you requested on us.
Well, Mr. Chair, this I think would put some much needed space on campus available for a small amount of money, and they certainly do need the classroom space and so forth. This is a large campus. I mean, as compared to a couple of the other regional colleges, it's one of the largest of those, and I think they could use the space. So I just make that case because they had asked for that project and it had not been granted at much higher cost using general fund dollars. So anyway, how is it possible to amend this, Mr. Co-Chair?
Not at this time. The co-chairs have met and working this. The problem is the lion's share is probably going to be in another capital construction bill, and that's going to be for OHSU. And we have to look at the overall cost. Certainly, your project is worthy, and it's not that it's not received the attention of the co-chairs. But at this time, we have had to pare back and thin down this list.
Okay, well, that's fine, I guess, but I certainly would like to have this done. There's some way that higher ed can get it done anyway.
Chairman and members of the committee, for the record, Grattan Cairns again, the system doesn't have funds to allocate to that. The funds, as you can see, are directed otherwise, but the campuses, through their academic modernization and repair monies, you can see that there's $12,096,000 in general fund and Article 11G for a total of 24.2, which would permit, plus the F bonds, a $39 million total for campus modernization, that some portion of that is directed to Western could begin to prepare for that and make some small start on it, but that would be the only source that we would have in the budget. The project will return, Mr. Chairman and Senator Trow, as the number one project of Western in the next round, if it's not identified in this budget.
That's a couple of years away. Okay.
Any other comments or questions from the committee? Yes, Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think my question's been answered. I was going to ask, is there some flexibility in those general, not general funds, but the categories of small capital projects and miscellaneous? And if I understood Grattan correctly, that could be a small portion of that could be used to start the ball rolling on that. Good. That's
we'd have to use the other kind of bonds, probably.
Yeah.
Representative Hobson, members of the committee, the capital construction bill is complicated, and it takes a while to understand all the rules under which the different colors of money are made available. The small capital and the miscellaneous small projects are F bonds, again, that require a separate revenue stream. which means the revenues are coming from specific dedicated sources, such as parking fees or housing and dining fees. And those kinds of fees are not available to an education and general project, typically, most of the time. There are some instances, though, for example, just to help you understand this, if we were to rent out space in a building and use tenant income to help defray F-bonds, that would be an instance which is rarely used when we could do such a thing. What Grattan Cairns was helping us understand is that under the line Academic Modernization and Repair, where we have G-bonds and general fund, those sources of funds are available for education and general projects. They typically cover four kinds of needs, among which would be renovation of the old library. The allocation of those funds to Western would remain under their control. They get an allocation basically based on the amount of ed and general square footage they have, and they may decide to use a portion of their allocation toward that project with no further need for specific legislative direction.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. Linda, the top item there, the $39 million, I assume that you're in charge of developing those figures and that it comes or it's authorized from the OUS State Board?
Senator Hartung, members of the committee. Yes, for the last three or four biennia, the legislature has permitted the Oregon University system to have an omnibus system-wide expenditure limitation category. With these funds, we address code problems, deferred maintenance, annual capital repair, and small renovation projects. Any of those in education and general. So we allocate the funds as a block of funds to the campuses for these kinds of needs. They are, any individual project falls below $1 million, and we do monitor and report to the legislature and to our board, semi-annually to our board and biannually to the legislature. So we are aware of what the projects are used for, and the allocation is basically based on the amount of square footage each campus has dedicated to education and general purposes.
Okay, and you have reported to this session of the legislature?
Senator Hartung, yes, we provided a letter and a biennial capital report to the LFO staff and to members of the committee.
Hey, do you have any comment about that letter or list or anything? Just as Linda said.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Any other questions or comments? Thank you, Linda. Okay, Steve.
Mr. Chair, I'd now like to briefly go over the additions to the governor's printed budget that LFO is recommending. And I'll just start and go down the list. You start at number one. These are funds that aren't specific to any campus project, but that are available system-wide. LFO is recommending that you add items 1B, 1C, and 1D. These provide funds for the small capital projects of under $1 million, for miscellaneous small projects under the building fee, and for land and building acquisition. Basically, what these are funds that can be available for small projects that have not been identified yet, that may come up during the biennium as long as they're of a limited size and nature. These three categories of expenditures were approved at the same levels by the Legislative Assembly last session, and the governor has indicated that is not including them this time around. It was merely an omission. It wasn't his original intention. So this would essentially replicate the types of funding that was available to the system from the 99 session. None of this involves general fund, or none of the repayments of any of these bonds involve general fund. The next items that LFO would recommend including are under three for Portland State University. Those last two items are not in the governor's printed budget. Item 3G, the classroom building acquisition and renovation, the governor did include in his revised budget. It's a $3.5 million Article 11 F1 on this project at CSU to acquire a classroom building. And LFO recommends approval of that. Number H, this is the first of five items that the co-chairs have added to the capital construction budget, or allowed to be added, given current budget constraints. The first of those is at Portland State University, a Northwest Engineering Science Center Phase 1 project to provide space for engineering programs at Portland State University. This project would be financed by $26.5 million of Article 11 G bonds, by $7.2 million of Article 11 F1 bonds, and by $26.5 million of gifts, grants, contracts, federal revenues, and of all other types of funds. This particular project, as LFO recommends for each project that has Article 11 G bonds, that's to say five of them that I'll be identifying here, that you approve the same type of requirements for completing the process that the legislature did last session, which is to say that the state would not be able to allow the funding for this project from the Article 11 G bonds until the institution has raised all of the other revenues that are identified in that column. That is to say, until Portland State comes up with $25 million in other revenues, the Article 11 G bonds would not be issued. There is one exception to that. If Portland State wants to issue some bonds before they've collected the full $26.5 million, they would have to come to the emergency board and explain to the emergency board why they wanted bonds to be issued, even though they haven't raised all of their matching funds yet. And then the emergency board would have the option of approving either a smaller project or a portion of the project at that time.
Steve, is there opportunity for the Engineering Science Center, the $26 million, is there federal funds that are available that could be used for the match, or is the match limited to what you just said, gifts and other?
Federal monies could be used for the match if they are identified and available for the project.
Okay, let's see.
At the University of Oregon...
Excuse me, yes, Representative Smith.
Before we move on, now is probably a good time to answer this question. Northwest Engineering Science Center, we have 26.5 G bonds, and then a little bit of F, and then some other revenues of 26 million. Now, is that some of that grants and gifts from our high-tech community?
Yes, I believe it is.
Do we have a breakdown of that?
What you want to know is how much is on hand, basically.
Yeah.
Or it is on
you know, hand. What obligations you've committed to in the future.
Thank you, Chair Hartung, members of the committee, and Representative Smith. We have raised thus far several...
What's your name?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
George Pernsteiner with Portland State University. We've raised thus far several million dollars in matching funds, some from the federal government, some from the city. We have, at the moment, about $1.2 million of privately donated monies, all of which have come from either individuals or corporations who are associated with the high-tech community. In addition to that, we've received approximately a little excess of $2 million of in-kind equipment to be used in the building. But we have cash donations right now of about $1.2 million from the high-tech community. And we're hoping for more soon.
I would encourage our high-tech community to help fund this because I see it's a $60 million allocation. It's one of our most expensive items in our budget. And I do believe our high-tech community will directly benefit from the state of Oregon's generosity here, and I would expect that we can do better than $2.2 million. In fact, I would almost like to see that come through in a much... So these dedicated other revenues really aren't in the bank yet, so to speak.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, we have several million that's been committed, as
several,
I said.
That's quite a...
We are in the process...
What's several million?
We have $5 million committed from the city of Portland. We have $350,000 from the federal government. We have some additional monies that we think are coming in from another local agency, and then we have the $1.2 million of private
money. So you still need to go out and raise the money?
We do.
Well, good luck to you, and I hope you're successful. Mm-hmm. And I hope our private sector really steps up to the ball plate on this.
Thank you, Representative Smith.
Thank you very much.
George, you mentioned the 2.2 in-kind. Does in-kind qualify for part of the match?
Mr. Chair, I do not believe so, no.
Okay. It does not. All right. Okay, other questions for George? Good.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah. Oh, yes, Senator Hennen.
Not a question, just a comment. Be careful if the ballpark enters this discussion.
What?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Cho.
Making the ballpark into it. So
yes.
In the ballpark.
Right, just looking at, not that I want a baseball particularly, but just as you look at the amount of money going into this building, I think it's great that we're doing that, but the difference in the building, an engineering building at OSU in terms of the amount going into one there. Let's see, where is that on the list? What? It's not on the, why isn't it on the list?
It's here.
The OSU engineering?
Yeah.
Oregon State University has an engineering proposal that requires $10 million of Article 11G bonds and $30 million in other revenues, essentially gifts, grants, and contracts.
Mm-hmm.
LFO did not recommend including that on the list because this they do have substantial fundraising still to go to get the $30 million match. And also, that particular project is presented as being very tied to the Tier 1 engineering initiative, which cannot be fully funded as requested at this time. Basically, what LFO will be recommending in the bond bill is that $10 million in Article 11G bonding authority be added so that...
Well, where is it? It's not on here, is it?
No. The bond bill, that's a separate bill.
It's a separate bill.
But this will allow OSU to come to the emergency board if they are successful in raising their funds, and the emergency board could issue $10 million in Article 11G bonds.
I thought they had $20 million already donated by one individual for this building, Mr. Chair.
Someone speak to that, Gren?
I don't understand what we're doing here. It looks like we're getting snookered.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Grattan Cairns, Oregon University System. Senator Tro, it's not being snookered. As the analyst said, in House Bill 2276, the total Article 11G bond authority for the university system will be increased by amendment by $10 million to recognize that project, and when they're prepared to come back to the e-board, they may. So we fully intend to return to the e-board.
Giving Portland State a $60 million bonding authority to build a new building in Oregon State that can raise a lot more money privately. We're not giving any authority to build a building. I don't understand this. What are we doing here?
Senator Hennen, can you help us out with that?
This is a list that the LFO went through with the co-chairs, and this is what the leadership and the co-chairs selected for funding projects. Now, if you don't mind,
without a fight,
can I finish my comment?
Sure.
I don't like being rudely interrupted.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir.
This has been discussed in the leadership in this building, and it has not been taken lightly. And there's additional bonding authority, as Mr. Cairns indicated, in another House bill that's going to be voted on here when they come back to the e-board for the release of those funds. This Portland State project is a project that was on the priority listing, and the co-chairs and the leadership selected it for a funding project.
I don't object to funding a fine building at Portland State, Mr. Chair, at all. But I do want to see that what we had planned and what there's a lot of support for at Oregon State makes it through. Are we getting an assurance that it's going to make it through in some other way?
Mr. Chairman, I can respond to that question. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senator Trow, yes. The Oregon University system concurs in the analyst recommendations and concurs in the co-chair's recommendations to the analyst. But we can assure you that Oregon State University will return during the interim, seek the release of that $10 million in Article 11G bonds when the fundraising is complete. And we have every intention of doing that. My understanding is the university plans to do that, so that at the end of the day, you will have both of those engineering buildings. And we believe that will occur, yes.
Why is it that we can make a commitment of all this bonding authority to one institution, and we can't make any commitment in this bill to another for $10 million at least? Weren't they asking they could put up $10 million private, all you had to do was convert that and get some bonding for that other building?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee of the university system recommended a number of projects well beyond what the co-chairs authorized. And there were numerous projects there, and we concur in their analysis and their recommendations. It's all I can say.
Quick questions? Representative Schrader.
I just needed an explanation of the College of Veterinary Medicine. I know veterinarians are very thrifty, but $3, I'm not sure we're that thrifty. Just wanted to get an explanation of what was going on there. LFO.
Representative Schrader is referring to Project 5-0, which would allow for the construction of a new building for the College of Veterinary Medicine at Oregon State University. It's anticipated that this building would cost $8 million to construct and that it would be funded by the use of Article 11G bonds with monies, $4 million of Article 11G bonds with monies to match that $4 million from the general fund or perhaps a portion from other revenues to bring up to the full $8 million. LFO recommendation would identify this as a project, but as you could see, it would not actually fund the project at this time. LFO anticipates a final decision being made for this project on the amount of general fund funding and Article 11G funding before the end of the session. So these numbers could be adjusted.
Mr. Chairman,
I'll come to you.
Yes, Senator Hannon.
That figure could be $4 million. Is that correct, Mr. Bender?
Yes, that would represent half the general fund. Half of the project would be $4 million general fund.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Smith, Representative Smith.
That's okay, Senator Smith. The other $4 million then would try to be other revenues, which means we go to the private sector or try to get grants from the feds. Or is that how that would work? I'm just asking. If they thought they needed the $8 million.
Steve?
The proposal would be to allow, would be to provide $4 million of general funds, but that may or may not be possible. If the full $4 million in general fund were not possible, then the college would have to raise the difference from other revenues.
Is that possible? Does anybody here know?
I can just make a comment. It's my understanding, and I appreciate the recommendation. I understand the situation, I believe, and would yield to the LFO recommendation to see what we can work out either here or at the e-board level. And the $4 million general fund is, I think, a generous situation given our budget environment. We would just match that with the bonds, the other $4 million bonds, so that would enable the project to go forward if we were at that level. It would not necessarily require other money.
I'm just remembering from previous testimony we had here on my other education committee, I can't remember which, that there was a lot of private interest in private commitments out there to try to make this go. So I think there's a huge will out there in the private sector to help fund this. I just want to say that. Thank you.
Good. You are on the record.
Steve, a question, this relates to what Senator Tro, questions he raised. The $10 million in 11G bonds, you say, is in or will be in House Bill 2276?
Yes, there will be an additional $10 million in bonding authority.
And is that the $10 million for OHSU in that same bill?
No, sir. This is a separate bill that's passed each session. It gives the limits on the amount of bonds the state can issue during that biennium. If you look at this chart here, if you look at the Article 11G column, you'll see that it totals up to $70,666,977.
Yeah.
That's just authority to spend Article 11G dollars after the bonds are issued. There needs to be a separate bill that allows the state to issue bonds. And what I was saying is that the LFO recommendation would be to allow $10 million above that $70 million, so there would be authority to issue the bonds if OSU came to the E-Board and requested $10 million in bonding.
So you're saying they might not request that?
Well, it sounds like they will. It sounds like they intend to do that.
Yeah, I think it's tied to their ability to raise $30 million is what they're asking for, isn't it? And you also stated something I didn't quite understand, talking about that $10 million, $30 million. It's tied to Tier 1. So what effect does that have on building the building?
The building is being presented as a component of Oregon State University's efforts to become a Tier 1 engineering institution, or Tier 1 would be one of the top 25 engineering schools in the country. That effort also requires significant operating dollars. That is to say, significant support, increases in support for the operating budget. We know during this biennium, the legislature will not be able to provide the full amount of operating expenses that were requested for OHSU in accordance with the, or in, at the same time, OSU, right, as was requested with this building project. So in other words, the whole project of the Tier 1 effort is only being partially funded, and it's not clear what that implication is for the need for OSU for this particular building.
Senator Hannon, do you have any additional information you'd like to share with us on that, or does that cover it pretty well?
That LFO's pretty well explained it.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Joe.
Again, I maybe the need is different than Portland State for an engineering building, but we're making a significant investment in a building, $60 million in a building there using bonding authority primarily. The other revenues, what are the other revenues that are anticipated in that building?
Those would be gifts, grants.
That's the what the city of Portland gave $5 million. Is that it?
The federal funds that Steinmeier mentioned.
Now, we're assuming those are going to be there when they're not there, or not.
Yeah, Steve, I'm following what he's saying. It doesn't seem to me that, of course, I understand consistency, but if... back to the OSU building, if when they do raise $30 million, they can come to the E-Board and ask for the 10 in the 11G bond. So why is the, and I assume there's good reason, why is the, you know, the 26.5 in 11G bonds for Portland State Engineering in there now when it's contingent upon them matching the 26.5? And I just heard George say that so far they have $1.2 million mm-hmm. in match and in-kind does not qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the rationale for putting that in there now?
No, I admit there's a great deal of parallelness between these two projects. The project at Portland State was ranked as a higher level of priority by the Board of Higher Education, which had several levels of priority and had projects in each of these levels. I believe that the board ranked the Portland project at a higher level because of the general shortage of classroom space that exists on that campus and the need to more rapidly bring in additional classroom space.
Okay. Any other questions regarding that? Okay, continue.
Hey.
What happens if the other revenues don't come in, Mr. Chair? That's another question.
Yes, there. Another question.
Is the city going to punkle up some more money, or what happens?
As far as the state approval is concerned, if Portland State is unable to raise $26.5 million in other revenues, there will be no release of G-bonds, and they will not be able to construct the project. If Portland State decides that they must proceed with the lower level of fundraising, if they're not able to get the full $26 million, but they want to proceed with a lower level of fundraising, they can come to the emergency board with a reduced budget, which the emergency board could then potentially approve. This could be either a smaller project or just part of their total project that they would desire. There is no intention that general fund, state general fund, would be used to make up any shortfall. Any shortfall would would require a reduction in the size of the project.
And is that said someplace?
That would be in the language of the bill.
Okay, other questions, comments? Okay, Steve, where are we?
University of Oregon, I'd like to talk briefly about the three projects that were added there, F, G, and H. Project F, the Lillis Business Complex, Gilbert Hall Phase 2, would entirely be financed by gifts and grants. And that was just an omission from the governor's budget. So this is a correction by putting it back in. The next one, the Casanova Center and Kilkenny Pape Fields additions. This was a late project that was not able to get into the governor's budget on time, but the governor subsequently recommended adding this. This would also be financed by gifts. Finally, the last item for the University of Oregon is a School of Music, addition and alterations to the University of Oregon School of Music building, which would be financed by $7.6 million of Article 11 G bonds. The university would have to raise $7.6 million from gifts to match that. And just like the Portland building we were talking about, the state would not issue any bonds until University of Oregon had raised the full $7.6 million. Unless they came back to the emergency board with a request to produce or to construct a smaller project and came up with a new plan.
Questions, comments? Proceed.
For the Oregon State University, there's a small change in the funding for C, or it's not small, but there's a change in the funding for C, the Weatherford Hall renovations. This is to renovate one of the classic buildings on the campus, Weatherford Hall, which is not in a usable state right now. The governor had requested $14 million in Article 11G monies, but the system requested that an additional $3 million in gifts and grants be allowed for that project to make it closer to the estimated cost of $17 million. So LFO is just recommending that you add authority for them to spend an extra $3 million on that project, though that would have to be raised from gifts and grants.
And the $14 million in 11F bonds will not be sold until that $3 million is raised?
Actually, the legislature has not placed that restrictions on items that are funded by the Article 11 bonds.
Okay.
They don't have the general fund cost to them. It's only the items
sure.
of the 11G bonds.
Okay.
Another addition is Oregon State University N, the second to the last one there, the Hinsdale Wave Research Edition. This was a project that OSU is requesting. Their request came too late to get into the governor's budget, but it will also be funded by gifts and contracts entirely at a rate of at a total amount of $3,700,000. And then finally, 5-0, we've had some discussion of this already. This would be a new facility for the College of Veterinary Medicine that would be designed to allow the college to offer four-year course at the college itself. Currently, veterinary students have to spend about a year and a half or a year and two-thirds of their study at Washington State University.
Steve, remind me again, it says new building, but it's not asking for $8 million just for the new building, or is that correct?
That is the cost. The estimated cost of the building is $8 million. So this is just essentially setting up, identifying the project, and setting up a general fund, an Article 11G bond authority, and allowing also an account to be set up to accept donations.
It has nothing to do with operating expenses?
No.
Okay.
None of these projects in this particular bill are related to operating expenses. We're required by the state constitution to have a separate bill for capital construction and operating expenses.
Okay.
In Southern Oregon University, item F, there was an increase from the governor's recommended amount from the environmental partnership facility that had been in there at $2 million. A more recent cost estimate shows that the cost of this project would be $2.5 million. It would be funded entirely from Article 11 F1 bonds. Item I is an addition that was, and that change also had been in the governor's revised budget. Item I is also in the governor's revised budget for the Siskiyou Center addition at $2.2 million, Article 11 F1 bonds. Then item J, an addition and remodel of the Southern Oregon University Library was added. This is, co-chairs are allowing this project to be funded in a $20 million project that would be financed $10 million with Article 11G bonds, $5 million with lottery bonds, and $5 million of gifts, grants, and other revenues. Now, these would be gifts. And again, as with other Article 11G bond programs, we would not issue the bond until Southern had acquired their $5 million in gifts unless they came to the emergency board with a request for a smaller project.
Mr. Chair, do they have any of that money available now?
Yeah, a little over $2 million.
Wow.
That's pretty good. Further question?
Yes, Representative.
Southern Oregon University, C, faculty housing. That's not a new item, or not an addition, excuse me, it may be a new item. I don't see faculty housing on any other of the universities. And who is this for?
Let me see if I can find the description of that. Top of my head, these would be repaid, these would be financed by Article 11 F1 bonds and be repaid by rents that people would pay for these facilities. But I'm going to, let's see.
Granton, what kind of, on that kind of faculty housing is provided at the other seven universities?
None.
Okay.
Explain how. Pardon me, Mr.
Linda. Yes.
Senator Hartung, members of the committee, the project narrative, which is included for each project that we present to the governor, describes the project as follows: we'll begin to address the need to provide affordable housing for new faculty members. Most new faculty members cannot afford to live in Ashland. This project would serve as a major recruiting incentive in attracting and retaining them. Faculty housing would construct approximately 12,000 gross square feet of two- and three-bedroom units, approximately 1,200 to 1,600 square feet per apartment with off-street parking and sited along the east edge of Rocca Street on university property. The property is zoned for higher density housing.
12,000 square feet gross,
total.
8 or 10
total.
Homes, probably?
Yes, that looks about right.
Or smaller.
Okay.
Follow-up.
Yes, follow-up.
Is this an apartment building? Did I hear you say that? Or individual homes?
Senator Hartung, members of the committee, it is described here as an apartment. I believe what they have in mind is a condominium unit. Style.
And since these are financed through Article F bonds, rents will cover the debt?
Yes.
Will the rents cover maintenance and taxes?
Senator Hartung, members of the committee, yes, all costs, and for any auxiliary, the cost of the rental fees would have to cover the operating costs involved, including any debt service, maintenance, et cetera.
Will the rents be set at market value, or will they be subsidized in any way?
Senator Hartung, members of the committee, I have to find the answer to that. I have not been told that they would be subsidized.
They would not.
I have not been told that they would be subsidized. No.
Joe, do you have a comment on that?
Yes, as the perpetrator of the original concept here, apartments are at a premium in Ashland. The vacancy rate is less than 1% typically. And so for about 15 years, the university has been building using F-bonds, a combination of townhouse and flat. They are totally self-liquidating. They are totally self-maintaining. The city of Ashland has an agreement with the university to not, we don't pay taxes in the typical sense, but we pay taxes on the income, and we pay the water, sewer, and a city assessment to cover the city's costs. They are totally non-subsidized, and it works. And it's the only way in Ashland, a newer faculty member can even afford to live within 30, 40 miles. They cannot stay forever. You're there for there's a time frame and time limit on how long you can live there, and then you must find housing and move out. But it's a way of trying to compensate a bit for the salary package issue and what it costs to live there.
Okay.
It's next to Lake Oswego, the second most expensive location in the state.
I thought Corvallis was.
I don't think so. Representative Winters.
Since all three are there, can I follow up?
Sure.
No other university provides housing in this way or any other way?
There is some guest housing for faculty who are temporary there one term or that sort of thing.
Okay.
I believe.
Are university presidents, do they go out on the fair market? And
these are fair market rents.
I mean, I go out on the open market, I assume, and just have a mortgage like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, the funding is provided by the 11F bonds.
Oh, I see. So our university presidents' homes are.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I thought you were asking about these. No, Representative Smith, the homes are owned by the institutions. They're purchased with cash. For example, we bought a new home in Corvallis where the older home needed a great deal of work. We sold the house. OSU sold the house, made a deal of some money on it, bought a new property. It was totally covered from the start.
Do our university presidents pay rent on that?
No, ma'am, they do not. It's part of compensation.
It's part of their compensation package.
Their contract requires them to live in the home.
I think I need to become a university president, and then I have my house paid for. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Okay, Steve, where are we?
We are now at Oregon Institute of Technology, which is Section 7. There's an additional project there that is in the governor's revised budget for a capital center renovation. The capital center in Washington County is a location where OIT offers many of its Portland metropolitan area courses, and the institution is interested in renovating some of that facility to make it available for classroom and office use. This would be a $1 million project out of institutional funds of OIT.
Questions or comments about the Capitol Center?
Okay, go ahead.
The final change, I said next to final, but the final project change to the governor's recommended budget is the addition of funding for a project, a new science building at Eastern Oregon University, the Regional Agricultural Health and Life Science Building, designed to address a shortage of classroom space and modern facilities on that campus. This would be financed by about $14.5 million, roughly, of Article 11 G bonds, by $9 million of lottery bonds, and by about $5.5 million of other revenues that that Eastern would have to raise from gifts, grants, and federal revenues, for a total project of $28.9 million. Again, as with all of the Article 11 G bonded projects, we would not issue the bonds until Eastern had raise the full $5,470,000 in other revenues unless they came to the emergency board with a request for a smaller project.
Mr. Chair, how much of that have they raised already?
The Eastern has raised approximately $2.6 million. Or I'm sorry, they've raised, no, I'm sorry, that's not correct. They have about $300,000 and they have what they consider to be strong pledges that they expect to receive this biennium of an additional $2.3 million above that.
I thought they had some federal money.
Is that they do have some of that as
there's
well.
There's supposed to be federal money.
Okay, other questions or comments for Steve? It looks like we've gotten through the all of the add-ons, haven't we?
Yes.
Representative Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If we're through with the list here, I have a question about the Central Oregon campus. Is that going to be covered in 2276, or where is that funding appropriated?
The request for funds for the Central Oregon campus are in the operating budget of higher ed, 5524, which we'll be picking up again later this week.
If I may, Chair Hartung, Representative Hobson, the building is being constructed by Central Oregon Community College, and we will become the primary anchor tenant, but they are building the building. I believe with certificates of appreciation, certificates of participation and bonds. So there's no state money involved in the construction of the building. There is $1 million in federal funding, which we secured to make it a smart building so that it's technologically correct.
Yes, sir.
Is any of the money in the $20 million that supposedly is there for engineering, that money that was in the governor's budget, I think the co-chairs approved it as well. Does any of that money go for capital construction?
Senatorial members of the committee, no.
No.
It does not.
Senator, you're talking about the top tier money?
The $20 million suggested appropriation does not include capital construction.
Now, does that $20 million embrace tier one concept or not?
Well, we're going to have to do some scaling, Senator, and the emphasis on private fundraising will increase. We had requested originally a combination of $40 million for the 2X, the expansion of the undergraduate output across the system, and the top tier.
That's additional.
Receiving 20, recommendation for 20, the state board went back to review that, and their distribution recommendation at this point, which they want to discuss with the Engineering Technology Council, is $15 million toward 2X and 5 toward top tier. That raises the ante for the amount of money Oregon State must raise, but they are being very successful at raising it. They've commitments for $40 million thus far. And one of those is, I believe, a $20 million individual grant gift. So it raised the ante, Senator, for...
Well, if they have all of that private money, why can't they get a little more bonding money to go with it than $10 million?
Well, Senator, I think it was a judgment call based on what was available in general fund and what they thought they could raise, and they have a very successful capital campaign in process.
Well, I think that's true, but also they're not there yet, and we're giving a lot of bonding authority monies other places. Are we limited in the bonding authority money we can give, the 11G bonds?
Senator, and that's not a question that I am able to answer. I don't know what the limitations are on the state's capacity.
So you don't feel any limitation based on limitations? Somehow or other, it's just that OSU could raise it all privately, so they do it that way and others do it with bonding.
Well, I think, Senator, I would disagree a bit and say that I believe that from the very start, OSU was going to rely more heavily on private funding than Portland State.
I think it's great that they can do that. I'm not discounting that at all. But what I guess I want to know is whether since I don't see it here in this budget, whether it's going to be there for them to go ahead with this.
Well, my understanding, Senator, is, as Mr. Karen's
you're noting, saying that it's contingent on them raising the private money, but no place else do we see this kind of continuing.
Senator, no, I believe that in the case of Southern and Portland State and the rest, the funds will not be released by the E-Board until we provide proof to the E-Board that the funds have been raised.
Yeah, but usually it's about 20% of the funds privately, and here you're asking for about 75% of the funds privately.
Senator, yes, there is a difference. I'm not disagreeing. But I absolutely believe that Oregon State will raise those funds, and the Tier 1 will move forward. Senator, before I exit, may I just make one comment?
Certainly.
I came here in 1987, and this is the very best capital budget that I've seen since the year I got here.
Best in what respect?
In terms of the size and the volume of state commitment and the dollars that are raised privately together, the combination of the public and private funding is really, we are very, very appreciative, and this makes a huge difference. And I wanted you to know, I know you lose track when you come here for a time, but 87 was the last year that even came close to where you all are here in terms of maintenance, in terms of new facilities, in terms of we're finally going to solve a problem of having a nationally ranked music school in terrible facilities at the University of Oregon. That's just this engineering commitment. I would never have dreamed we would move to this level. It's thank you.
Joe, just a minute. Back to what Senator Cho and I'm wondering too why we're required to raise $30 million in order to get $10 million in. I mean, that's just inconsistent. Did ETEC recommend that kind of balance, since they're instrumental in raising the $30 million tonight?
Senator, no, I believe that it's a combination of an assessment by the Board of Higher Education in terms of the ability of the institutions. $5 million will be a stretch at Southern Oregon. That number at Eastern will be a stretch. I think the board tries to take into account the capability and the capacity of the institution to raise the private dollars.
Mm-hmm.
We also had a consulting firm working with us on engineering, and it became very clear from their advice that the state commitment was primarily to primarily to undergraduate engineering. When you moved across the line into graduate and top tier, that funding was going to come from the private sector.
That's true.
Yes, Senator Tro.
Yeah. Just related to Western Oregon University, so you just look at what we're doing here, and you say, well, Western Oregon got its library last time, but it took two biennia to get that library, as I recall.
Yes, sir, it did.
And I don't see a whole lot of stuff here for Western. And I think historically, if you look at what we've done for Western as compared to the other institutions, I don't know that it gets treated that well.
Well, Senator, I don't try to look at it in terms of some sort of... The projects come up through a process of critical analysis over the years, and it's true, Western did move. That's only the second new library in the system since the last 20 years. The residential hall facility that they have on here is substantial, $12 million, and the board tries to do its best to meet the highest needs of each campus as they put them forward. The Western project that was number one is funded. In number one in their listing is funded.
But other institutions have numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 funded.
Yes, sir. And again, the board is faced with the hard decisions of lining up the state's needs in terms of new program expansion, and engineering clearly is a high priority.
Okay. Other comments? Representative Westland, we are working our way through the capital construction budget. Do you have any comment? We haven't voted on it for acceptance or rejection yet.
Happy to be here.
Oh, nice to have you here.
And I'm also very appreciative of Chancellor Cox's recognition of the work we've done on this budget.
Yes, I was too. That's really had the same sort of recognition last session of the $100 million that we put in. And I think that's turning out to be a good investment. It seems to me that we are definitely moving. I guess the only criticism that I would have, we also instituted the new funding model in the RAM, and it was my hope, that would cause the universities to act, with more initiative as entrepreneurs and raising funds and whatnot. And I want to make sure that, in our budgets that we have for higher ed, and I think they've done that, but I want to make sure that you, Joe, are leading us in a way that there will be opportunity for those universities that, you know, have special interest, you might say, in becoming a top-tier university or whatever, are not hamstrung by, you know, the desire to have, for instance, three mediocre programs in the system rather than one world-class top-tier. And that's not a criticism of what you're doing now, but I sure do hope you keep that in mind, because that was the reason that, at least that I voted for that funding model.
Right. Senator, we're committing to raising $113 million.
Just a quick request from
sure.
Steve. Can I have a total of each university's total funding request?
Yes.
I mean, these are detailed, which I love, but can I just have a little at the bottom line, just say total for Portland State, total for Western Oregon, so forth.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Schrader, will you do Representative Schrader?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, fine. Representative Schrader.
Just to round out the discussion, if it's the appropriate time, just get a perspective. What's our existing debt service for OUS now? We have some obligations that are going offline or have gone offline in the last few years, what our new debt service would be for these projects.
Yes, sir. This is, I believe you're speaking about the Article 11G bonds, which are the debt services the state pays. Currently, the outstanding level of Article 11G bonds is about $89 million. So that if you look at the projects on this list, that would add an additional $70 million to that. So that's a pretty significant increase, considering that we're only up to $89 million for all projects that we're still paying for. Some of these projects are close to 30 years old. So this would add $70 million, and I think it's a significant increase in state effort to fund facilities at higher ed institutions. Of the $70 million, roughly, that you've got here, the additional debt service per biennium would be about $9.8 million total. So if these projects all proceed as planned, the debt service to the state would be just shy of $10 million in biennium.
And what was the current debt service that we pay?
The current debt service is, I believe it's around $29 million for biennium.
And let's see, Steve, on G-bonds, there is no limitation. It's just how the quality of the bonds are affected by the outstanding amount. Is that true?
There is a limitation in the Constitution for G-bonds, which is very large and far beyond all of the proposed people have been talking about would even have us reach. So that's a pretty loose, if I may use that term, limitation. What the legislature does is each session, they put on a strict limitation of how many dollars of bonds could be issued in that biennium.
That's just on G-bonds, of course.
Yes, there's also an F-bond limitation as well, but specifically on G-bonds, there's a limitation on G-bond issuance. And clearly the concern is for future debt service requirements and trying to make sure that those do not reach levels that require substantial cuts in other programs in future biennia just to pay the debt service that the legislature is committing to.
The debt service is guaranteed by a statewide property tax if necessary.
Ultimately, yes.
Representative Schrader.
Just trying to follow. So we're looking at roughly a 30%. 25% increase in debt service with this. And is there some of this that's going offline? You indicated that there's some of these buildings are like 30 years old and projects are 30 years old. So I assume some of them
go offline, yes.
Go offline. Yes. And what is the projected, just put this in perspective for us, for the entire Oregon University system, the current debt service is $29 million. And I understood from the OHSU proposal for $200 million worth of bonding that conceivably it could be that for that one institution alone. Is that correct?
We would estimate $31.6 million in debt service for the OHSU bond.
For one institution loan. It's not actually a state facility. Is that correct?
It's a public corporation. That's correct. State would not own. That would not be a state.
The $200 million For OHSU is all G bonds, right? Or is that the proposal?
The proposal is to establish a new authority under SJR 17. I think they would become Article 11 L bonds. If the voters approve that, there would be a new section of the Constitution, Article 11 L, that would allow bonds to be issued for OHSU on a general obligation basis. There's no authority to issue bonds on a general obligation basis for OHSU's project currently. As a backup, if the voters do not approve, or SJR 17 doesn't get out of this, HJR 17 doesn't get out of this body, that the project would be funded by tobacco revenue. Well, if it were at the full $200 million, the debt service on that would be $38.2 million per biennium.
Any other questions or comments? co-chairs, Senator Hannon, we haven't had a chance really to work this bill other than gather information, and I don't have a consensus of the acceptance or rejection of the proposal, but I'm happy to put it to a vote if you'd like to move this along today. Mm-hmm. What's your pleasure? Okay. Is there any objection to having a vote? Voting now on Senate Bill 5525, the LFO recommendations, Department of Higher Ed capital construction.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Crowe.
There are really a lot of fine things on this list, and I'm really delighted to do what we're doing for every one of these institutions and every one of these projects. I do think there are some other things that could be on the list, and I'm wondering, why it is that we can't have on the list at Oregon State University the $10 million for the building, and with the idea that they are going to raise that, but I don't see it here. Maybe it's going to be in some other bill, and maybe that's good. But I don't see it here. They're going to have different requirements, as I understand it, for whether or not they get the $10 million that comes in the other bill. They're going to have to raise all the money privately before they get that authorization to go to the $10 million bonding. It seems to me like that's a problem for me. I won't like to vote for this because there are lots of good things on this, but that's a problem. The other thing is that for Western Oregon University, just a small amount of some bonding authority or something else would allow them to put a building into use that they very much need. And it wouldn't cost more than $600,000, I think, of something that would allow them to use a building in a campus that is overcrowded and doesn't have enough space. And so I can't understand why that didn't get there. So I guess I'll have to be a no if we're going to vote on this for those things, even though I like what's on here.
What we can't seem to be able to do, it looks like that we could do those things for those two institutions.
Co-chairs, is there, if we would pass this to the full today, is there opportunity in other bills to address some of the senator's concerns that you just heard, or is that no chance?
You want the one-word answer or the two-word answer?
Whatever works best for you, sir.
One-word answer is yes.
Oh.
All right. So, Senator Trow, would you vote to pass this out then? Would you make a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to recommend that this committee move Senate Bill 5525, Department of Higher Education Capital Construction Budget, as outlined by LFO, with project lists including the Department of Higher Education System, Western Oregon University, Portland State University, University of Oregon, Oregon State University, Southern Oregon University, Oregon Institute of Technology, Eastern Oregon University, and a project reserve. General fund totals be $12,096,477. Article 11 G bonds be $70,666,977. Article 11 F bonds, $186,741,000. some lottery bonding totaled about $14 million, other revenues totaling $113,237,873 for a grand total of $399,223,337 with the co-chair's comments included.
Okay. Good. Okay, you've heard Representative Schrader's motion, and I'll remind you, you have the printed blue sheet, and we did not deviate from the LFO's recommendation, so you have the motion in front of you. Is there any discussion on the motion to pass this to the full ways and means with a due pass recommendation? Is there any objection? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. We'll close the work session.
Chair, just a vote explanation.
Certainly.
I really appreciate the fact that the co-chairs are willing to look at the two things that I mentioned.
Yes.
And I hope that, that we can achieve these before we get done through this process. Because I think what we have here is really very good on this list of things. And you're right, it's the best we've done for higher ed in a long time. I recognize that, and I thank them for it. But I think a couple things would make it much better for me and make it possible for me to accept the list, feeling better about it than I now feel.
Thank you, Senator. So I've closed the work session, and I'll open the work session on Senate Bill 5052. House Bill 5052, and Representative Westland, would you... 5051, that's right. And we will not consider a work session today on Senate Bill 466A. We're not prepared for that. And we will have a meeting tomorrow. There's not one scheduled, but we're working on the one-hour notice. Representative Close?
Mr. Chair, the agenda says 1 to 3 today, and it says June 16th. I'm confused.
Yeah, well...
Are we meeting at 1?
No.
No.
The House is June 18th.
I apologize. I didn't...
Yeah. Yeah, it's Monday, June 16th, 18th, 1, 3, but anyway, we're making good progress here, and so Representative Westland, did you wish to comment? We are in work session on House Bill 5051.
Well, just to say that, and I appreciate the good chair calling this budget back for reconsideration. With regard to important decisions you're going to be making relative to enrollment growth and some of the skill center, tech center, Saban issues. I don't envy the choice that you're going to have to make here, and functionally what is important for this committee to know and everyone in the audience to know, everyone in this building to know, is that we have $45 million allocated to community colleges. However you would like to spend that, feel free. It's not a decision that when it leaves this committee is going to be remade. It's not something that we have any intention or capacity to fund at higher levels. And so those are the comments I'd like to make. I have some preferences, if you will, but if you want to say that the good co-chair, my colleague, and I are putting some of the pressure and decision-making capability on you that we feel on a daily, indeed hourly basis, you can feel that way. Go forth, good work. Make the right decision, whatever that may be, that is the decision.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Hennen.
Mr. Chairman, I'd echo the co-chair's statement. Our intention to the community college is, if you choose to buy the Skill Center, if you choose to buy Saban, you buy it out of the $45 million. There's not a penny more coming. So don't ask. And don't bother to come back to the e-board.
Let me, if I could, give you the good and bad news. At one point in time, we were forced to put community colleges enrollment growth back down to $35 million. we fought like tigers and banshees to get that put back up to 45. So we're here where we originally were. It's probably short some components in that. I have some real empathy for some of the skill centers, Saban, tech centers, but it's a weighty decision. And I think a lot of people would acknowledge that even the $45 million was not what the community colleges were originally asking. We understand that. And we appreciate the fact that you understand that this is going to be a below current service level budget, and that at $45 million, something close to that, it's a significant add to where we were. So with that, the ball is in your court, committee.
Thank you, Representative Westland. What I've done, members, as a courtesy to the legislators, I've asked Ron Nassau to come, and the main confusion has been about the funding of the Skill Center. Why is it in the community college budget and some in the K through 12? So, and I'm not going to open up a full hearing on this, but we are in work session, and so I can invite people. And you're invited, sir, if you would explain to us just a little history, get it on the record of how this came about. And this has been a very tough decision for all of the members, and we have voted on this once, but as a courtesy to the co-chairs and the legislators, we brought it back, and so we're going to be voting on it after you take a few minutes to get on the record a little history on the Saban Skill Center and its relationship to the community college. Liz, welcome.
Thank you, Senator Harton, members of the committee, those of you who remain. I am pleased to be here. This is the third time I've had the opportunity to talk to this committee this term. And I come with some trepidation, to be sure. I'm not here to pit one group against the other. I've spent the last 3 days being told by a variety of people that we're working on other ways to take care of the Saban Skill Center and the North Clackamas School District. What I am here to try to talk about in the best way that I can, the value of that program. And I'm not going to go through the litany, at least everyone starts speeches that way, don't they? But I do just want to remind you of a few things. Saban Skills Center has received state funding now for the last decade. It is a program that offers an area of education that I believe in this state remains a high need area, and that is skills education, career-based
education. Excuse me for interrupting, but you said has received state funding for the last 10 years. It's received, you mean community college, or in the community colleges. You've always received state funding through the K through 12 because you are an alternative.
Through the community college, that's correct.
Okay.
Right. There has been a separate line item for Saban Skills Center funding. The purpose of that, I think, over the years has been to try to support this this program as a model for other state programs. You need to know I've only been here in North Clackamas School District for 6 years and wasn't in the state prior to that, so I wasn't here when funding first started. But it has been connected, the funding for the Skills Center has been connected with the community college, I think largely because of that skills emphasis. There was a hope that both the community college and Saban, which was somewhat related to that process, would have a similar mission in this state. And where the money has come from in terms of how it had got into the community college budget has varied from biennium to biennium. But again, I just want to stress my concern that we're perhaps cutting off our noses to spite our faces in terms of funding for education. Not every one of our students in the state is going to go on to a 4-year educational program, although many will. some of whom will take advantage of saving skills. Not every youngster is necessarily going to go on to a community college. Many youngsters are going to go to work. They need to go to work with skills. And we think that Saving Skills Center has been a model in this state for the last decade. It has been a model that has allowed students statewide and regionally to attend that school, statewide in effect through distance learning. The funding that we have and have had over the years has been to encourage distance learning. We have not been the only source of distance learning in this state, but we certainly have been a significant source. First of all, via satellite, and now with the VTEL system, we remain one of the service centers that provides distance learning to school districts around this state. Most of them very small districts that either don't have the opportunity to reach community colleges or don't have the ability to hire teachers to offer similar programs. We have been a model for other schools. I fully know that in the Ashland area, in the Gresham Barlow Centennial Reynolds area, in the Capital Center over in the Beaverton area, are moving with schools of a similar nature, and I think that's tremendous. I would venture to say that all of those people visited Saban, took a look at what Saban could offer, and said, this is a good thing for children in the state of Oregon. We ought to be doing this in more places. I totally agree with that process. We have also been a model for the 2+2 program in terms of our linkage between high school and community college in some very real ways. And finally, Saban for this school district, and my guess is that for those who are going to have similar kinds of programs, has been a tremendous source for CAM, Certificate of Advanced Mastery, planning. This has been part of the education agenda in this state for a decade now, and we are just now, as a state, reaching a point where we're able to unfold that program. Skills centers, and certainly the Saban Skills Center, is a valuable asset there. What has happened to us, I think you all know, we were notified by the governor much earlier this year that funding was going to be cut for Saban Skills Center. We receive right now in the biennium about $2.63 million. We certainly made our case as best we could with the governor and indicated that I believe the phrase that I used was we would appreciate having some kind of a soft landing. Soft landing was that in the budget there was about $1,030,000, which was about a 60% reduction in our program. What I am concerned about in a very pragmatic way as the superintendent is that cut, coupled with some of the other things that are going on in school budgeting, is forcing us to make reductions in what is a very, very good program, eliminations in what is a very, very good program. And essentially what I'm asking as a superintendent of schools is for some consideration of not the restoration of the funding, although I'd love to have that, but an increase in the funding that will allow our school district to figure out a way in the next 2 years to preserve the Saban Skills Center within the context of our own programs. We have known in terms of the agreement that we had with the governor that this biennium would in effect become a phase out of state funding for Saban Skills Center. And we continue to work on that premise. I can report to you that in terms of the issues that I have to face as a superintendent, that virtually all of the money that is being presented to us in the current budget will be used in the coming year, and that in the second year of the biennium, we will be forced at that point to make significant reductions in that program. The sadness of that is twofold. One, that our students are going to have less access to the kind of education that Saban Skills Center has provided over the years. But I think more importantly, it may well be sending out a signal across the state that we may not be able to to look at the Save and Skills Center models as models for districts across this state. And those two things put together, I think, are truly unfortunate. So, again, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to speak to you once again, in one sense, given the comments that were made earlier about the $45 million. My guess is that part of my comment is directed not just to you, but to the people who are sitting behind me and to some degree and with the community colleges. So with that, I will end my comment.
Thank you, Superintendent. And you know that you're in front of us today in the work session as a courtesy to Senators Duncan.
I've been fully versed on that, and I deeply appreciate their
efforts. And we appreciate you coming down here. Other questions?
Senator Hartung, I just have one question.
Certainly.
I understand that you said that you're serving students beyond the district.
Yes.
And that and that's through distance learning. Do you serve them other than through distance learning?
We have two sources. Regionally, we have four or five high schools in our area, Lake Oswego, West Lynn, Oregon City, Gladstone, Canby, where students do, in fact, attend Save and Skills Center. We do that, again, without tuition costs because of the state funding. And then we also have the distance learning programs across the state.
I'll follow up.
Sure.
So you have no agreements from the other schools to where they can assist in offsetting the costs from their students coming to your facility within the region?
We do not have tuition agreements at this point. Certainly, we have begun discussions with folks about that. In many cases, these are very small schools, and basically what they're saying to us is that some of the distance learning systems that are coming into play, and when those get transferred to a tuition basis, that those might not be picked up on.
Questions, Chair?
Yes, Representative Smith.
I have no doubt of the quality of the Save and Skills Center. In fact, I know a teacher there, and Terry Wirtz is a forestry teacher.
Yes.
And I know he's got word to me, you know, that he'd like to see it running, and I know that the wonderful programs they're producing. However, it also seems to me that what the Save and Skills Center is currently trying to accomplish is a redundancy of what's being accomplished at the community college level, or higher training and so forth. I do think that the Save and School Center, being the excellent program that it is, needs to look elsewhere for funding. We have spent a lot of time, many, many days in this committee, listening to the community college budget. And the things that they offer are, to me, some of the most tremendous programs that our tax dollars are buying. In fact, if I had a choice of funding either community college or higher education, which I thankfully I don't have, my vote would go to the community college because I think they're doing such a good job. And Mr. Chair, I have a question on a technical matter.
Certainly.
I believe this is our third hearing on this budget, and didn't we approve the budget once already?
Yes, we approved it, sent it to full ways and means, the due pass recommendation.
I can't understand why we're revisiting our previous decision.
Very simple answer to that. The co-chairs requested it.
I see, because of,
and you heard,
because of a new request? Because of a new request from a special interest group?
No, it was just the co-chairs expressing their concern and about the fact that if we did take $1 million out of the 45, that the community college budget would not be money in other places for them to get the 45, and the 45 represents for enrollment growth, and I've learned a lot that I didn't know about this. You know, there's over 400,000 different students attending the community college now, and they really and truly need the 45. They really and truly said they needed the 78. Mm-hmm. I believe it was a figure.
If I remember, and they have been cut back because of their other skill centers that they offer have been cut back, from what I understand.
Right.
Possibly because of this.
But it's very important in this process that we extend courtesy to the co-chairs whenever they ask for it. That's what we're doing.
Senator Hartung, I I have to make a statement because I was around when Saban Skill Center was started, and I know the good things that Saban Skill Center said. I don't think that there's an either-or. I believe that the ability to provide resources to young people, I go back to the days when we had Benson Polytech. In fact, my son went to Benson. And, you know, having those skills available at a high school level, I think, is extremely important, because not all of our young people are geared to, nor should we have the expectation that they're going to go on to a system of higher learning. So I wanted to put that on record, that I do know that you do very well at saving a skill, and I don't think that it's an either-or, and unfortunately, we do not have the dollars, but I do that there is the value for the Saban Skill Center type of a program, so I just needed to say that for the record.
Thank you. We're going to need to take a vote here shortly, but Representative Schrader.
Very quickly, because we are late. The Saban is a huge value. I'm a strong supporter of Saban, and it unfortunately is this fish or fowl kind of between the community college and the K-12, but I will say, after looking and listening to the presentation from K-12 on the CAN system, it's in serious disarray, and perhaps we need some guidance, and there may be an opportunity, hopefully, to work in that regard, to have taken me a model that might work and keep it in some good shape and actually give some credibility to the CAN projects that are at the K-12 level. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd also like to recognize Representative Lowe out
yes,
there, that
definitely
has been a big supporter of Saban, and made the same request to Senator Duncan and Senator Metzger. I guess I'd like to move our budget when it's appropriate for you, sir.
Right. Now would be the time before we lose some members. And also, yes, Senator Trump.
Yeah, I was just thinking, they mentioned that probably they could keep it going for a year and then would have to make substantial reductions in it in the following year. If we could go ahead and approve the 45 for the community colleges without taking money away from that, as I'm sure the committee wants to do, but suggest that they come to the e-board maybe in the second year of the biennium to talk about whether or not we can find some ways to help them out then. Is that possible?
I'd like to check that with the co-chairs. And of course, there's nothing to keep the Saban Skill Center from coming to the e-board with or without a budget note.
But I think if we said that we thought that might be advisable, maybe there could be that.
Here's a budget note that one of the co-chairs gave me originally and then pulled it back, feeling it was too harsh, and I've shown it to some of you. And just let me read this. It would be attached to the motion that... did you make a motion?
Move we approve the...
Well, yes, you did. Okay. Talking about full funding. Now, this is directed to community colleges, though, and not specifically to the Saban. Community colleges shall fund their 2001-2003 biennium enrollments with the funding provided in this and any other bills passed by the Legislative Assembly this session. It is expected that the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development will not seek additional funds from the Emergency Board during the legislative interim for enrollment-related costs. And I think that's pretty clear, and it doesn't you know, suggest that the Saban Skill Center shall not.
Right. Now, what I want to think of, I think that we ought to separate the Saban Skill Center from the community college budget anyway. I don't know why it's there. I don't think it should be there. Apparently, the community colleges are not involved with it. They ought to come back on their own, but as a worthy program that eventually I think the community ought to be able to pay for itself.
Yes.
But I think it needs some help as it phases over to that. And so maybe they could come to the e-board just on their own, not as part of the community colleges.
Right.
And Mr. Chair, I think also that they should be pursuing their contractual agreements with those districts that are outside of their district within the region, you know, come in with some different budgetary plans.
Yeah.
Well, members, what I'd like to do is pass this bill
back again with the budget note regarding the community college.
Didn't we put that in it already or not?
No.
No, we didn't. Oh, okay.
We didn't before, but not address Saban coming back in this. We can make to do it in some other area, and I've committed to the two senators to see if we can't find some place in the K through 12 budget, for instance, or maybe new or different federal funds to support it, because I know all of us do that. We have a motion before us. Is there any further discussion? And this includes the budget note. Is there any objection? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. We are adjourned.